All right, we're back. This is Who's Talking. This is the bottom of the hour segment. We're excited to have former UVA rebounder, enforcer, all-around hoop aficionado Terry Gates with us.
You better be.
All right. Terry was at the football game on Saturday night. He was almost as cold as I was, but I was feeling less pain than I was somehow. How is that possible?
Appropriately dressed.
Is that what
it's
it was?
All in the gear.
All right.
And the pregame.
All right. Hobbo, Terry, let's talk basketball. Virginia's 4-0 and looking pretty good right now. Every win has been by at least 17 points. That's a pretty good margin. They've got some more interesting games, and they got this little tournament coming up.
Well, gentlemen, tell me what happened Friday night at halftime. I was at my niece's rehearsal dinner and was checking the score on my phone and was a little concerned that we were down 4 at the half. And then the second half, it seemed like somebody turned the lights on. So what did Coach Bennett say at halftime that got the lads fired up?
You know, I don't know if he has to say too much at halftime. You're down. This team, that style of play is going to have halves where they don't score, put a lot of points on the board. I mean, they don't get any easy baskets. Hopefully, down the road, there's a little bit more leeway for Brogdon and Anderson to go to the basket, because you watch some of these games and there are no layups. I mean,
there's not much transition basketball.
No.
And, don't get me wrong, I love Tony to death. Obviously, his success speaks for itself, but there have been games at JPJ in recent years where Virginia will get a defensive rebound, and I'm thinking to myself, push it. Push it up the floor. You know, sometimes you get a little early offense. Sometimes, you know, that first look you get when you get in the front court is the best look you're going to get
during
that sequence.
I mean, the second pass to someone on the wing who's wide open from 18 or 15 or 19, a three-pointer, they don't get a better look than that after 8, 10 passes. Or last year you might got a Akil Mitchell shovel pass to Toby, which is not what you really want. So, but, you know, I think this is going to be an exciting year because we've lost, three players from last year, Harris, Mitchell, and Tevin Jones from that top 10. That top 10 players have been boiled down to 8 when they were very well last year.
You might be stretching a little bit for Tevin Jones, but Frank was a big Tevin Jones fan throughout the whole year.
I think to watch him on the bench clapping, happy, he got to play in some big minutes from time to time, you know, when they had to put him in. But you know, team chemistry is very, very important. And that team last year in February and in January, February, March seemed to have it all together in that department.
Yeah. And, I mean, this year, you know, Justin Anderson really seems like he's stepped up. And he does some things that are freakish. You know, I mean, he does some things you're not supposed to be able to do. Or at least things that Hobgood and Gates never did.
Well, there were dreams, you know, and visions, but I will say this. I kind of thought that this was going to be Malcolm Brogdon's team, but you have one big personality in Joe Harris taken off to the NBA, and you have Akil Mitchell leaving, and there's a gap there in whose wide shoulders just said, this is my team. Now, it may not be at the end of the year. Brogdon might be the go-to guy, but, you know, for 30, 35 minutes at the beginning and part of that game, Justin Anderson's an exciting player, and he can enforce his shoulders and his jump into building his defense, and he can do a lot of nice things.
Also interesting to me, coaches always talk about going 8, 9, 10 deep, this, that, and the next thing. And GW was the first game that Virginia was really challenged, and I looked at the box score afterwards. Anderson, Brogdon, and Perantes all played 35-plus minutes.
Right.
So, the three studs.
How many players scored?
When the game's on the line, you want your best guys out there.
It was like, and that's probably a good thing, because when you got the rotations they were getting, and you have like Shia came in and hit three threes that one game, and that's great. They go in, you're not playing, you're playing a game you're supposed to win. The next game he comes and he misses a couple. Does he shoot the next time? So that was a good game, playing from behind. Get your six or seven main guys out there, and in the second half they did what they're supposed to do.
Well, in these next 2 weeks, you know, tonight, being honest, Tennessee State not probably the most challenging opponent in the world, so I think we can probably write down a W tonight, or tomorrow night. Not tonight, tomorrow night against Tennessee State, against the old Tigers, but then Friday night, LaSalle. the Explorers up at the Barclays Center, and then either Rutgers or Vanderbilt the next night. And then, of course, following week, next week, Maryland at Maryland in the Big Ten Challenge and VCU here in the Siegel Center. So next couple of weeks are going to say a lot, or at least tell us a lot about this basketball team.
And I think they're ready for that. I mean, you've got your nucleus, you know, can Evan Nolte pick up some minutes? Can the three young guys? I like what Devin Hall, what I've seen of him. But, you know, these minutes when you're playing Maryland and VCU are a little bit different than you're playing one of the various states we have been playing, because there's a Cleveland State coming up, too.
And you probably get your opinion, looking all the way ahead to VCU.
I don't do that. Don't do that.
No, I'm not. But it's just for sake of argument. I mean, to be successful against VCU at the Siegel Center in that atmosphere, I think you have to have terrific guard play, which Virginia does. So I think Virginia may be one of the teams that's got the capability to go into the Siegel Center and get a W.
You got to take care of business.
There's a lot of games between now and then, and I think the trip up to the Barclays will help the team get ready for a tough environment. That's a big-time building, brand new, state-of-the-art and all that. And there will be some fans there cheering for everybody but Virginia. We need to mention that we are planning a live remote on Saturday, December 6th at 12 noon over at Fridays at Broad and Glenside. We're excited to be partnering with the UVA Club of Richmond. This is going to be a lot of fun. Door prizes, appetizers, drink specials, and a lot of fun. And we're going to work on some special guests to join us there at Fridays to talk hoops and football and all kinds of...
Maybe we can even talk Terry to come by.
You know? Well, there's a price.
He's gonna want a full meal.
One beer. That's all. Yeah, I think we can buy him for one beer.
We can spring for one tall
drink. A little more than a stipend tonight, okay?
All right. Let's talk about the players' development so far. Devin Hall, I think, has looked pretty good overall, playing some point guard. London Parentes did not shoot well against GW. For segments of that game.
I don't think anybody did from three. As I remember the box score, I think we only had one converted three in the whole game.
Right. At the same time, obviously, there's some questions. Should Darian Atkins be starting or coming off the bench? I think Tony Bennett has one day he wants this, next day he doesn't. Should Toby be starting? Anthony Gill starts games like he's on fire, and then he sort of vanishes. Brogdon is steady Eddie, right?
Well, as I say, Anderson, Brogdon, and Perantes in games that are contested are going to play 32, 35 minutes plus. And I think, and Terry, you could speak to this too, I think the one thing that Darian Atkins brings to a Tony Bennett team, he's probably the best defensive player on the interior, which Coach Bennett, he prizes that defensive ability among his players.
He's not an Akil Mitchell where he can go out on the floor, 25, 30 feet, but he likes to patrol inside. And what I like about him, he's a finisher. Now, he's not going to catch the ball 3-4 feet from the basket and pass it back out. And I don't think you want your big guys to do that. If you can get a jump hook off, if you can get a little fadeaway, if you can take it strong, you need to capitalize on 3-4 feet from the basket.
Well, the one thing that Mitchell was able to do, which is rare in college basketball these days, and you remember, if the other team had a four player, a position four, since they number, basically your strong power forward, a guy that could actually play facing the basket and maybe even occasionally take a perimeter jump shot, Mitchell had the quickness to go out and guard that type of person, and that's rare in college basketball anymore.
No, I mean, he was an excellent defensive player, and he made that team special last year. But I think Darian is more of a finisher at the rim, and that's something they lacked last year at times. I don't think, like I said, if they're going to throw him the ball and he gets a good shot off, I don't think we want him passing it back out. We need to try to get that 2 points.
And big guys making free throws. I get frustrated once in a while. I mean, that makes a special big guy, because oftentimes the big guys are going to get fouled the most. Now, Brogdon goes to the line a lot because of his ability to go to the basket, but, Toby and Gill are going to get their opportunities at the free throw line, and you got to have, in close games, they need to make a good percentage of those free throws.
It always helps.
Yeah. So. And the Barclays Center, what, the ACC tournament goes there, 2017?
2 years, 3 years?
Greensboro, then Washington, and then to the Barclays Center for 2 years in 2017 and 18. So.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good warm-up opportunity for the ACC to get there. Certainly, it will be those will be important games for the Cavaliers. You know, looking at this team and the makeup, Terry, and we are speaking with Terry Gates tonight, talk a little bit about the offensive flow of the ball. And you and I debate this almost at every game. When do they need to work more on the in-out game, or why does it always just rotate around the perimeter? And shouldn't the Cavaliers try to run more? I mean, I said at the beginning of the season, this team, they've got 11 guys that can play. Let's get the steal of the rebound, and let's look to go.
Well, you got to go with the right people, and mm-hmm. you've got someone like Justin Anderson. If you know, I don't think anyone's going to step in front of him, and you know he can outjump you, and he's stronger than you are, so he's a problem, and he can transport the basketball up and down the floor. Same way with Malcolm Brogdon. He deceptively quick. If he gets his shoulders by you, he's so big that it's hard for a smaller player to defend him.
Well, you know, the one thing we keep coming back to, a lot of it is Coach Bennett's system. You know, he is not one to, you know, I would say he would probably argue that they will occasionally take the transition opportunity if it presents itself. But by and large, he's going to walk the ball up the floor a lot. That's just his system offensively, and he thinks he's going to win games on the defensive end. Well, last year it sure worked.
It worked, but you had a Joe Harris out there who didn't have a great year shooting, but had a good year shooting, and he was a force, and a force you had a guard. So now is Justin the next Joe Harris? I mean, he shot the ball very well this year so far. So I think he's probably a little more just attuned to where he is and what he's supposed to do, and not rushing things. It's this kind of his team now. He and Malcolm's team. So
well, Joe Harris was the kind of guy when he elevated for a 3-point shot. The fans expected it to go in. Now, you know, Anderson is a great shooter, can be. Perantes can be a great shooter. Brogdon can be a great shooter. Nolte and Shayok, am I pronouncing his name right?
Yep.
He obviously has made some, but are they the consistent guys that are going to make them game in, game out? Right. That's yet to be determined.
Yeah. Well, some of those guys are brand new. They're babies. They're learning the game. They've got lots of talent. This kid, Isaiah Wilkins, has got talent. He's put on 25 pounds since he's been at Virginia, and he fights for the ball. And he actually, when he turns the basket, I don't think he's looking to pass. I think that guy wants to score too. So
well, I think between him, Atkins, Toby, and Gill, we clearly have some gifted offensive players on the interior
that can play D.
So the one question mark: will we have consistent enough perimeter shooting to be successful at the highest level?
All right, we've got to pivot quickly. We've got Dr. Andrew Bogle from Ortho Virginia on the line, and we're delighted to have Dr. Bogle. The UVA game on Saturday night, there were two obvious injuries that occurred. We're still not sure to what degree. We saw Kevin Parks in the first quarter suffer what appeared to be a moderate concussion. He was kept out of the rest of the game. And it's sort of remarkable that Virginia's smaller running backs had such a terrific game in Smoke Mizell and Khalid Shepard. Darius Jennings, the Virginia senior wide receiver who is normally wears jersey number 6, was wearing number 17 to honor his teammate Miles Gooch. He landed on his shoulder on a brilliant, really tough catch on the sideline next to Miami's bench and bounced on the ground and appeared to hurt his shoulder. I'm not sure, Dr. Bogle. Did you see anything else? Or have you heard any other news?
I have not heard any other news about those types of injuries. But certainly, you know, falling directly on your shoulder like that is something that can lead to a big spectrum of injuries. I mean, certainly in football, the collarbone or clavicle injuries or the AC separation or sprain that you hear about, those are the things that, you know, pop up in my head when I see that type of injury. And certainly I hope that it's on the lower end of the spectrum of severity and it could be treated non-operatively, but certainly have to wait and see and hear how those guys are doing.
You know, Darius Jennings was favoring his other arm after he made that crash landing, and he came out of the game for a play or two, then he went back in, and I saw him running around, and he definitely was moving that other wing around. He was moving that arm around, trying to get it loose. What is an AC separation, and can a player overcome that injury this late in the season?
Sure. Well, again, it certainly depends on the severity of it. So the AC joint is, you know, a lot of people, when they hear shoulder dislocation, they think that's the same thing as an AC separation. But an AC separation is actually the sprain or injury of the end of the clavicle or the collarbone as it meets the shoulder blade in the front of the shoulder. Mm. And when you have a direct fall onto that, you can disrupt those ligaments. And it depends if it's just a light sprain versus one where the ligaments are torn and the bones are out of place as a result of that. And it depends on the severity of the injury. For the mild ones, certainly there have been players that can play depending on their position. You know, a middle linebacker might not tolerate it as well as a receiver would. But, you know, if it's on the lesser end of the spectrum of severity, it can be done. I know, for instance, DeSean Jackson played last year with a AC sprain to some degree. So,
Dr. Bogle, how's your colleague Vince Dalton do with hip replacements?
Well, since, I think he does quite well.
Since he's doing one for me in about 12 hours, you know.
Well, I think I'll call him tonight, make sure he, you know, eats his Wheaties in the morning.
Yeah, make sure he gets a good night's sleep with you. I'm always worried about that. You know, what if the doc doesn't sleep? You know, I want him to be well rested by tomorrow morning.
Well, it's a reasonable question, and you shouldn't feel out of place to ask your person in the morning.
So. Well, Dr. Bogle, we have got to jump to our commercial break here, and we want to thank you in Ortho Virginia as always, and thank you for educating us on that AC separation.
Absolutely. You guys have a great evening. Always fun to be on.
Thank you. Take care. All right, we're going to jump to break. Come back. We've got the Olympic Sports Report sponsored by the Foss Home Team, and we've got more of Terry Gates. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.